ask you this. How about if you watch some of us play it first, and then if you were like, okay, I can handle it, or you can hit around a little bit just for fun.
Yes, it's just not fun if there's one person that's terrible.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And then I'm just holding everyone else from having
fun. She doesn't want to have Cameron and Blake and Trent and watching her stink whenever no one's playing.
I don't care about that. Yeah. I just want everyone to be able to play and not wait on me the entire time.
Yeah. I understand. Okay, well, listen, we're going to get started with this podcast. So welcome to season 3, episode 11 of FISD's The Podcast. We're Kelsey Goals and Dana Owen. That's me. Have the pleasure of interviewing interesting people and discussing anything and everything Friendswood ISD. So a side note, my sidekick KG is out today with, she's got some respiratory issues going on. So it's just going to be me. Well, not actually just me. We may have on today two of my favorite all-time guests that I'm super excited. This is where I would hit a button and the crowds would start cheering and clapping and all of that. But one is an FISD K-12 grad. We're very proud of that, by the way. And the other is a current employee at Westwood Elementary. Before I introduce him, I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but I am officially retiring this year in May. And so I thought before I left, I thought it would be fun to have some of my family on. And I have invited on my oldest son, Cannon Cooper Owen, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Maddie Owen, who is a teacher, as I said before, at Westwood, second grade teacher at Westwood Elementary. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Hello.
Very excited.
I don't know how excited you actually are.
I'm excited. This is fun.
Okay, it really is fun. It's a good time. Listen, if both of our audience members listen this week, then
half of it is
it.
Me. So yeah,
that's right.
I'm part of the crew.
Well, and the other one is Patricia Pawitzki. We all know Mimi listens to these podcasts. So
she actually does listen.
Let's not get into that right now, Kate. Okay. I'm just going to believe that Mimi listens.
Yeah.
Whether or not she does, I'm not quite sure. Okay. But welcome. I did have this thing written out that I was going to introduce both of you, mm-hmm. Get into specifics of who you are and da da da. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, how about you two just do that? So what would be more interesting, for each of you to introduce yourself, or Maddie for you to introduce Cannon and Cannon to introduce Maddie?
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Go for it. Maddie, you start. Cannon, you want Cannon to start?
Yeah, I want Cannon to start.
Okay, Cannon, you start.
So my wife, Maddie, she's a teacher at Westwood. She's been a teacher for X amount of years, 5-6 years. Feels like forever. Do I need to get into like character traits? Am I just
anything else you would like to add about
beautiful,
Maddie?
Beautiful blonde.
Yes, she is. adorable.
Yeah, adorable. Works very hard at her job.
Maddie, what Enneagram are you?
I need to take the test again.
Okay, you think
she doesn't believe in Enneagrams. So that's something I love about her.
I think maybe like a 7 or a 6, or I've heard 2, but I'm like,
Are you a perfectionist?
Not really, kind of. Certain things.
Cannon, is she a perfectionist?
Kind of.
She's a perfectionist when she wants to be, and she also
sometimes I'm not
doesn't
about
care
it.
At all.
Yeah. Okay,
when she doesn't want to care,
you should see my house. You know,
it's not a perfectionist.
Oh, y'all's house looks great. Okay, Maddie, introduce Cannon.
Cannon is awesome. He's super funny. He's a great sense of humor.
He is funny.
Very, very quick witted.
Mm-hmm.
Super big servant. Does a lot of things for me. In my job, that when I get home, I don't want to do a lot of things. And he has all of that ready for me when I get home. He has a really cool job where he gets to do some sales and be an expert on trucking equipment, which is really cool. And he's done a lot of different things and he wears a lot of hats. And he's very knowledgeable in all of the things that he has hats for. And he loves sports. He loves football, all sports. So every day we watch some different sport in our house.
I actually would have told you that, and you know this, but I actually would have told you that Cannon Owen would have ended up being a coach.
Yes.
So kind of surprised he didn't go that route. But I do see you.
He may coach at some point in his life.
I do see you coaching maybe your kids one day if y'all decide to have kids. But you do not have kids right now. You do have, however, a dog.
We do have a dog.
And what's your dog's name?
Douglas.
Douglas. Doug. Sweet Douglas. Doug. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's a...
He's...
Aussie.
He's a Bernedoodle. We're just going to say he's a Bernedoodle.
That's right. Yeah. Bernedoodle.
Yeah.
Brown, black, white.
More black, white.
Black, a little, and white.
Does he have a little brown?
A little bit on his ears.
He did when he was younger than he does now. But okay, so we're going to start. Let's just start with a super easy question. So why don't you two start by sharing your political views and who you plan to vote for in the next election?
Maddie, go ahead. You start.
Is that like super cheesy so mom humor?
So cheesy.
It's pretty cheesy. Gosh,
I think I'm so funny, but if every time I try to crack a joke and then ask y'all to rate how cheesy and mother-like it is, I would...
They're all going to be bad.
They're all bad?
No, if you think it's funny, they're probably going to be bad.
Okay.
You got Mimi, though. I bet she'd laugh at that.
Oh, my mother, by the way, thinks I am one of the funniest people on the planet. She thinks I'm funny. Just wait.
You are funny.
So I did see recently that a question is, should we lower the voting age to 16? What are your opinions about that?
No.
I think we're already a very uneducated group of people, and to throw in another 2 years of uneducated children.
Not all 16-year-olds are uneducated. I wouldn't say that. I just
educated enough to vote.
Right. I feel like 16-year-olds are the most vulnerable to be swayed in a certain way.
Right.
Not based on research, but more of on like, what's everyone on TikTok thinking, you know, and not
That's
really.
A good way to verbalize that. That's a good way to explain why that might not be the best. However, we do give them keys to a car.
Right. But
we got to grow up sometime.
Yeah.
But let's not start with voting.
Right.
Right. Probably not a good, good idea.
Right.
Right.
I can tell right now that having to be on a podcast with me for Cannon Owen might be one of the most cringeworthy things that he's done in a long time. But I do think we're going to have fun today with some questions that we have. So are y'all listening to any good podcasts or watching any good series or anything like that on TV? How do you spend some of your time, your downtime?
Yeah, my podcast game is like a religious, like every week I have 5 podcasts I'm listening to.
But now you drive a lot. You're on the road a lot.
Right.
And like all over the state of Texas. So you have you have a lot of time for podcasts. So what's your number one podcast right now? Keep It Clean.
Yeah. I think Joe Rogan's great. That's probably the easiest answer. Mm-hmm. Everyone's turning off the episode probably right now. But, I just listen to different stuff that,
did you listen to him and was it Chris? Wait, what was that guy's name?
Cat Williams.
Did you listen to that podcast?
Kind of halfway.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah. They're just weird, weird stuff.
Yeah.
But I love that.
It keeps it interesting for sure.
Right.
You get to hear all different subject matters and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Maddie, what's your go-to? You're home from work before you go to sleep.
Okay.
Take out playing with Doug.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your, like, if you could have more time to do this, you'd do this?
Honestly, like, I don't do a lot of productive things when I get home.
Well, they don't have to be productive, but what do you enjoy doing outside of work?
Okay.
And Doug?
Are you talking about like TV and podcasts? Or are you like talking about just hobbies?
Yeah. If you had more time to do anything, you would spend it doing.
I really like creating things. Mm-hmm. Like, I really do. So when I have something to create, so like my brother's getting married.
Okay.
He's getting married in June, which is exciting. And I have made a lot of the things for like invitations for a shower and all of that kind of stuff. And I really enjoy doing that.
So Maddie and Cannon both have a sibling named Caden.
We do.
Y'all have that in common. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. Same age.
Yeah.
I think we figured out that talking to both parents that they probably named them after the same person.
Football player.
Heisman was in the Heisman race at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like
Same origin of the name.
Yeah.
Right.
It's awesome.
Oh, that is. That's it. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Isn't it interesting to think about when that happened to your mom and that happened to me, that in the works were Cannon and Maddie.
I know.
Back then.
And then our kids will have two Uncle Cades.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Right.
One cool, one not cool. Sorry, my brother.
Oh, you should have looked that up.
Yeah, you could have said the other way.
That for what people would have thought.
Yeah, for interpretation. But.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So that's in June.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I enjoy doing that,
right.
But I don't do that all the time. A lot of the things I do is like go on social media. I like playing games on my phone. It's embarrassing.
Well, what's your favorite game to play on your phone?
Okay, so it's not good. It's like a town game that you like make a town.
You serve your residents. You're the mayor.
I'm like the mayor of the town.
Right.
All right.
It's really silly, but like I harvest things and I put things together. It's just mindless. I really like mindless when I get home because I make so many decisions throughout the day.
Right.
So many. And I'm so needed all day long. And so when I get home, I'm just like, taking care of my town.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Sometimes I think about myself in Doug's shoes.
Yeah.
And he may think that like my mom's a mayor.
Yeah.
She's a teacher. Like she
does
a lot.
She's a teacher. She's the mayor. She feeds me.
Do you ever talk to Doug about your town that you're taking care of?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the name of the town is actually called Dougtropolis.
Dougtropolis.
Yes. Yep.
I like that.
And now everyone in FIC knows that, which is funny.
It was established in what year?
Oh, I've had this game since I was in high school.
Okay. So established in what year?
My 10-year anniversary was this week. I haven't been playing for 10 years. I re-downloaded it like
a couple months ago.
But isn't that crazy?
No, that is. That's crazy. That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, but I haven't been playing consistently for 10 years. I don't want people to think that.
It doesn't matter what people think.
I know
on this
it doesn't
podcast.
Matter.
It's okay.
But I do play that game. I watch a lot of TikTok. I do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Listen to podcasts, walk.
Yeah, that
I like
game,
to walk.
That game, whenever you start it, it's like you're in the pilgrim times and then you have to like progress your city and all these things.
Yeah, I'll have to show you it.
And her city now is like futuristic.
It's cool.
It just means she's put in a lot of hours.
I put in too much time into it.
Embarrassing. Yeah.
But
yes.
But listen, we all have those guilty pleasures that we like to that we like to do and spend our time.
There's a lot more people doing that and playing games like that than you think.
Right. Oh, I know. Oh, no, I get it. Everybody, yeah, I get it.
Shout out to some of my friends at work who also have town games.
Okay.
I'm not the only one.
I don't think anyone's judging you.
Right.
This is a judge-free environment. This is safe.
Perfect.
Safe place.
Safe place.
So let's talk technology, which is what we've kind of already started talking about.
Perfect.
By the way, you two were first generation having cell phones with parents that did not grow up experiencing that.
Right.
And, you know, when I think back, I was so proud of my boys will not have phones until they're in the sixth grade. Which I held out till the sixth grade. I look back and think that is absurd. Y'all were like, what, 11?
Yeah.
11? Okay. And I was so proud of that. Parents, hear me now. If you can hold out, you hold out as long as you can with cell phones. So what do you two think? You're in your late 20s. What do you think about technology for kids? Maddie's a teacher. What do you think? And then answer that question. What do you think about technology, really specifically cell phones for kids? And then I want to get it on record. What age do you think you're going to allow your child to get a cell phone?
Okay. So my parents told me I had to be 13.
Okay. So what grade is that? Is that a freshman?
Seventh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
When I was one of the later people to get a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that phones as a device to call someone and to text someone is fine.
Fine. Yeah.
I think phones have evolved beyond what phones were when we got phones, you know? So for me, I'm okay with my 13-year-old having a flip phone.
Right.
You know?
A phone where they could just call or text someone.
Exactly.
Or maybe even play some games.
Yeah. Play a little, I don't even remember those like Tetris kind of games. Those are fun.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Right. Keep it simple.
But I do have some kids with phones.
Oh, you do? You have second graders with phones.
It is kind of wild whenever like a cell phone goes off.
So what does that look like? Do you have, so what are your rules? They're not allowed to have their cell phones out.
Yeah. Don't, I turn it off.
Yes. Yeah.
I've had one time I've had a parent call. So like divorced parents, a parent calls the cell phone.
Yeah.
And I picked it up.
So that
I'm like, hey,
I've always found that that's the major reason why a kid has a phone is a yeah. parent believes that they need to have a phone to get a hold of that right. child. But I didn't realize they were as young as second grade carrying right. phones.
But we have different technology now. Like I also have students that have the watches, which
true.
That's another way to get a hold of your kid without your kid having an entire computer in their hands at
right.
all time.
Right.
So I would rather my kid have that if you need to know where your kid is, because you can still text and call off of the watch.
Would your kid answer a watch, their watch in the middle of your class?
I haven't had that happen.
Okay.
But it definitely could.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
But all of my ones with it, I don't even realize they have it. So
what if they were taking a test and you looked at Joey over there and he was like, Google the answer to 3 times 3.
I would laugh so hard. That's the first thing I would do. And then I'd be like, ooh, you think you're slick.
Siri, what's the answer to, I don't yeah. even, what's a great second grade second question? Grade
is like 7 minus 3. Like,
well, they're not, yeah. Yeah. I have seen them like try to use the calculator mm-hmm. app and I'm like, y'all, like, come on. But phones for kids. I just think technology itself, like the earlier you introduce it to your kid, it's just, I just have seen such a decline even in attention span and ability to just finish work or be proud of work or social skills and just really irritability is like at all time high. I can tell the kids that go home and just get on their device and then come back to me because they are just like fidgety and irritable at all times of the day because they just want their computer.
Yeah.
So I really try not to play into that at school as much because mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know how much screen time you're getting at home, but I'm going to try to control that here. Cause mm-hmm. if parents are trying to keep their kids off their computer and then I'm like, go do everything on your computer all day. Like
right.
I'm making it worse.
Right. Yeah. There's a tough balance. I know, you know, parents want to know what kind of screen time goes on, in their kid's class. And I understand that completely. And you know, y'all are in a little bit of a strange world as teachers where you're trying to, not necessarily second graders, but we're trying to prepare students for the future.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's going to be with computers. However, there is a balance of that where kids right. need that social time and that play yeah. time and that brain time of trying to figure things out and problems out on their own.
And everything shouldn't be a computer.
Right, right. Everything shouldn't be a computer.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of tough, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like, I think it's worth it in oh, the yeah. end for sure. So, yes.
Cannon, what do you think? What's your opinion about cell phones for kids? And let's get it on the record. When is dad yeah. saying that the kids can have a cell phone?
Yeah, I think what Maddie said was like perfect. They may need a phone to communicate, but they don't need the Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. They don't need the social media. So a simple kind of dumbed down version. Perfect. But like an iPad, you know, there's like the stereotype, the iPad kid, as soon mm-hmm. as they go to dinner, sit them down, here's your iPad and yeah. leave us alone.
Right.
I think that's where it gets out of hand and it could be very detrimental to the kid, to the relationship with your parents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It may be that in like 20 years that we're not even talking about computers because AI is so crazy. So it's who knows where we're going, but yeah, I think the quicker you make your life easier, your kid's life easier
or more comfortable
mm-hmm. or yeah, they're cooler. I mean, part of having a phone is like, look, I have a phone. It's not even what you can do with it. Like
right.
calling and texting
status is, of it.
Yeah. It's boring to actually call your parents to pick you up from practice or whatever it is. But, yeah, I just think that it's so the dopamine that you get, yeah. especially as a kid, is
right
like crazy to think it can get that, you know, at a click of a button. But
what age?
I don't know. I think sixth grade is probably fine when they're going to
practices and
overnight.
Stuff.
Yeah, staying in overnight at friends' houses and away from the house.
Well, and you know, you just have to be smart. Now y'all have the capabilities because y'all know you grew up with phones.
Right.
So you're a little bit different than y'all can do better than us as parents in that you understand how it all works. You understand that there are parent controls. Mm-hmm. You are the parent. And so you can make those decisions and, you know, that's right.
Yeah. And teach them the lessons of why you don't want to be on your phone.
Right.
Y'all, I mean, you didn't know why you wouldn't want to be on your phone. It's just like, bad for your eyes.
We didn't know, but we were, I feel like maybe you would have a different opinion, but I feel like we were really good at, y'all weren't on your phones when we were eating. You weren't on your phones. Like my big rule in the car, you're not going to have on headphones. You're not going to be like over in your own world, listening to your own music. We're in this car together as a family.
Right.
I mean, if we were taking a trip, that might look a little bit different, but you know, And you already said Cannon, Maddie, you said you were seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you two are both good about like when we are out doing things, you're not awkwardly on your phone. You're really good about being present and being in the moment with the people that you're with. So that doesn't seem to be a struggle with you necessarily.
Before you move on, I do think that we will have air tags implanted in our kids when they're one before we say anything. That's what I believe in.
Okay. Okay.
No, we won't.
Okay. You're laughing. I do not understand. I do not understand why we can put sort of implants in dogs to be able to track them, but we're afraid to do that with our own children.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about when they're 17, even though I don't see the problem with that, but when they're older adults, knowing exactly where they are, but when they're five, why would I not have the right to know exactly where they are?
That's, but then when you get 18, do you go get your chip removed?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. You go get your chip removed.
Nope. You can't. I'm your parent.
I mean, if you can get a tattoo, no, you're 18. You're an adult.
No.
Yeah. If you can go get a tattoo at 18 and you don't have to ask your parent.
But what if, you know, we get another, everyone need to keep your chip in. We're going to safely remove it.
Yeah, I think there's a fear of like other people having access to that chip.
Right.
The problem is when you share your chip ID with your girlfriend at 13.
Yeah, exactly. Hey.
And then they want to follow you until you're 24. I mean,
and her dad knows where you are at all times. Yeah.
But I get it. I think that's the beauty of those watches. Not that the kid's just going to have it on all the time, but.
Oh, that's true.
You know where your kid is all the time, but you don't have something implanted into their body.
Yeah. No, that's true.
We do have a chip in our dog, by the way. So.
No, that's a good point. By the way, I want you to know, Maddie, does your mom know where you are at 360? Does she know where you are at all times?
Oh, no. I don't share my location with my mom.
Okay. Because you know a lot of people do.
I have a lot of people that have my location on like the Apple location services. That's just for convenience
sake. Did you have to share it with them?
Yeah.
Can you unshare it with them?
Yeah.
Would they know that you unshared it with them?
Yeah.
Does that upset you if someone unshares their location with you?
No, because I'm assuming they're probably unsharing it with everyone. I mean, I have people from college that I used to like hang out with all the time that I never see that have my location.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Like my college roommate came in town, I guess it was like 3 weeks ago. And I don't even know if she knew that I lived in Friendswood, but she was in Alvin and she pulled up her location and she was like, dude, I'm like 6 miles from you.
Like nearby. You can see who's nearby. Is that the point of that sort of thing?
Yeah. And I'm like, come see me. But like, I would have never known she's close to me if I did. Obviously I don't trust everyone with my location.
Right.
But I share my location with Cannon like all the time, which is nice.
I think that's weird.
Yeah. Not all the time.
Well, Cannon travels. So and if he's
Kelsey does it too. I think it's weird.
He's driving across. There's been times he's driving across like the country. Of course, I want to know if he's okay, and he doesn't answer his phone. So I need to know where he's at.
That's fair.
He doesn't answer his phone.
That's fair.
Because he's very present, like you said.
Very present.
Okay, that's a good, you know. But it's an ongoing, I guess I'm getting to the point of, I have a lot of friends that they know the location of all their children at all times. And most of these children are adults. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
I would love to know what people think about that one topic, because I think it's strange. I think, you know, sometimes maybe I'm probably the bad mom and I should know. Maddie's showing me a picture of city of Friendswood and where they're located all over the city. I get it. I think it's cute. I'm not used to it. I don't want to know where all my kids are at all the time. It's just like too much for me.
Right.
But I guess, and y'all wouldn't even let me, use 360 when you were in college. You were like, no.
No. Yeah, no.
Honestly, I would have never looked because.
Yeah. Well, that's different moms though.
Yeah.
My mom would look at it.
I wouldn't share my location with anyone if it wasn't for her. So
Do guys show their locations share their locations with all their guy friends?
No.
No, that's not something.
Not in one of those groups. That's a different group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that there are some, but no, not any of Cannon's friends.
Right. Not normal guys.
Okay, so let's talk about growing up in Friendswood, Cannon for you specifically, and just education, being a part of education and FISD. And and I'm trying to stay out of the weeds a little bit because I don't want to get too serious on this podcast necessarily, but think about teachers that you loved. What are some quality of those teachers that you loved? What made those teachers, really for both of you, Maddie, one, what made you want to be a teacher? Maybe it was teachers in your life. Or what are some personalities or characteristics of those teachers that made you fall in love with them?
Is this question for me or Cannon?
Yeah, both.
Okay, I'll start. To answer your question on why I wanted to be a teacher, it did not start out from a very great reason, honestly.
Yeah, mine didn't either.
It started with like, well, if I'm thinking about my life, I really want to have kids. And if I want to have kids, like just kind of working backwards. Mm-hmm. So like if I want to have kids, then it would make sense for me to be a teacher. And I really like working with kids. And my mom was a teacher, so I'll just be a teacher. So then I went to school and I didn't really get into a classroom really until I was a junior in college. So then it's like, I don't really know what I'm doing and why I'm doing this, but I'm enjoying it.
Teaching is a great, it's a hard profession, but it's a great profession.
Right.
It's hard.
Right.
But it has some pros and cons to it, obviously. Every job does, but
yes.
So
I didn't really understand why I was meant to be a teacher or why I wanted to be a teacher until I became a teacher in my first 2 years I taught. So I went to A&M and I taught in Bryan ISD, which is a little bit of a rougher area, but it was tough.
That's a hard district to start in.
I was like a mom to 17 kids. Mm-hmm. So because their parents were working all the time, they would get home sometimes to no one being home. And I was their source of all adult, like quality time, basically, and dealing with all of those emotions. And it was really, really tough, but it was just really cool of like, I care about what kids learn, like academically, that's great. But like the point of being a teacher is not what academically they're going to learn. It's whether they feel seen, whether they feel loved, whether they feel important in connections. Yeah. So those connections with kids, and I know that I love teaching because I have had to move schools because of where we've moved location wise. It's my third move. And every time, even every year, like last year, my kids went from Westwood to Bales and it's like, we're walking around the school and we're all sobbing. Mm-hmm. It's like, you just make such a connection with kids. And they're like all my like little best friends by the end of the year. And so it's really hard to have them move on. But that's how you know, you love what you're doing, you know, when you put everything into it all the time. And that's why I'm so exhausted, but it's worth it, you know?
Right. Do you get to see your students that go over to Bales? Like, do you get to see them?
I went over to Bales yesterday, actually. And it was awesome because I did like a learning walk where I went over there to learn from third grade. And I went in the classroom and I'm like, hey, what are you working on? Like talking to my kid, what is your goal? Like, And I had some of my students come and show me their entire classroom, teach me what they were doing. It was just really cool. And just getting to see them and still have that relationship with them and them feel comfortable to come up to me is like everything. Yes, you know?
That's wonderful.
And getting letters even from kids from after I've moved on. Like I got a letter 2 weeks ago from a girl that I taught in Katy about how I changed her life. And it was just aww, like, this is why I do it. This yes, is amazing.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Cannon, we're going to get into later what it's like being the spouse of a teacher, but yeah, what is the personality of some teachers that were, and listen, if you feel you want to give any shout outs of teachers that, yeah, name drop.
Yeah. I had a lot of great teachers. Two that were like kind of different, but they're kind of the same. I don't know. Westerfeld and Scott.
Yeah.
They're two different people, I would think, personality wise, maybe, but, I don't know what it was. I mean, Westerfeld, I did like very well in her class. I loved math. So yeah, that was very easy, came naturally.
Well, I remember you fell in love with Westerfeld because she was so, you were struggling 1 year because yes, you had moved into a different.
Yes, the year before.
The yeah, year before. And she was a great tutor
yeah,
for you. And yeah, that's kind of when you fell in love with her. And she would speak positive into you, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know necessarily how much of that she did. I just know it being like, going to class, I had this desire to like listen to what she was saying. Like yeah, I wanted to give her as much respect as I could because she gave me her extra time, maybe is what it was.
So you felt seen.
Felt seen. Yeah, exactly. And I also was so smart. So good at math. So good at math. It was easy.
Math did always come easy to you, except for that 1 year. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened. It was a transition between junior high and high school. And I don't know. It was
sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't freshman year. It was sophomore year. I don't know. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't either.
It was,
but you yeah, loved Westerfeld.
Loved Westerfeld. Loved Scott. And he taught a fun class.
Yeah. He taught,
forensics.
Forensics.
Yeah.
You liked his personality.
Yeah.
It all meshed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he would have like the question of the day and it would have nothing to do with anything forensics. And I just, that was so easy to get me in. Cause we would talk about whatever it was and, everyone had their answer. So everyone got to go around the room and give their answer to the question. Seemed simple. It was just, yeah, it was a great
fun
class. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Enjoyed him. He liked sports, so that probably was easy too to have that connection there. But a lot of my coaches, like Coach Harris, I loved, offensive line coach. So we were very, very tight. Like I just, you know, I would do anything for Coach Harris said to do it, you know.
Have you kept up with where he is now?
So the last I saw, Baytown Lee or Baytown Sterling.
I really don't know the answer. I was just wondering if you know, like where, I know he left Friendswood. I just yeah, didn't know if you yeah, knew he's where
still,
he was.
He's still coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, I think he could do, he could have a head coaching job. I think he's like, he knows football. He understands how things work. So he's great. Yeah. I loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reflecting on your time as students, did we address that? Did y'all want to say anything else about that? Did you want to give any shout outs, Maddie, to any of your high school? You grew up in a
I'll start there.
Private Christian school.
Yes, I
was it
did.
All girls?
No.
Okay. Boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. My graduating class was 55.
Okay. And you pretty much knew all those 55 since you were in kinder.
So I moved to that school when I was in fourth grade.
Okay.
Yeah. And my mom actually taught me at that school. So my mom was my high school math teacher. And then she transitioned from being a math teacher to the school college guidance counselor.
Did your mom give you extra credit for doing things around your house?
Me and her, we would get into it. Like I would be taking a test and crying because she would not help me on the tests, like that kind of stuff.
Well, you and your mom are two different personalities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to have your child as a student.
Oh, yeah.
My boys were in the same high school when mm-hmm. I was an assistant principal. I was a nervous wreck for those 4 years, by the way. But yeah, so I can imagine that was difficult for you and your mother.
Oh, yeah. Because I would get away with before being like, they never taught me this. But then she was like, I taught you that, you know? like before I was able to
like, you couldn't say that to your parents anymore. She's like,
I taught you that
on this day.
And some of my other teachers, they would help me, you know, mm-hmm. and she was just like, if you don't know it, you don't know it. Like, I'm not going to sit here on a test and give you a hint.
Right.
But I had a lot of great teachers, like a ton, K all the way up to 12th grade. I'm still friends with, I think, 4 or 5 of my teachers on Facebook. I'm friends with my kindergarten teacher, my third grade teacher, and my fourth grade teacher.
Do they know your location?
No, they don't know my location.
Okay.
They know I live in Friendswood, but no, they made a huge impact on me. It was awesome. And then I had a ton of teachers in high school that were great.
Well, that's another reason I have a feeling why you became a teacher is when you have really good connections with educators, mm-hmm. you kind of want to continue that feeling of life. Like, this is a really great place to be. And
mm-hmm.
you know, now
I think it's more subconscious.
Totally.
You know?
Yes.
Yes. Totally. And I also think because my mom was a teacher, having that, and she had a really positive experience with mm-hmm. it, I think that also helped with, oh, my mom was a teacher. She was great at her job. She, whatever, I'm going to do that.
Your mom is such a great, like, just person to be around. Such a calming
mm-hmm.
person. I could say, I bet she would be a like great math teacher.
The best teacher.
Yeah. Oh, I could see it.
Yeah.
And then going on to be a great counselor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love your mom. Okay. So let's talk about, Kenan, I mentioned I was an assistant principal. Was there even anything hard about that? Like, we never really, not a whole lot bothers you. Kaden would give me probably a little bit of a different answer because things bothered Kaden a lot more than they bothered you.
Right.
Or maybe I just think they didn't bother you because you didn't really talk about it. But was that hard with a mom as an assistant principal?
It was only hard because I knew that anything I did, you would know about. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't get away with a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of this introduction to be friends with, not friends, but I'm still a student, but friends with like attendance office, friends with other assistant principals. Like, after school's over, I go to the school to be with my mom until she gets off of work.
Yeah.
So school was kind of like fun almost.
Yeah.
Kind of had fun. So I think it was more good than bad, but yeah, I mean, of course you're going to hear
the kids gave you a hard time.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you got to tell your mom to not give me 5 days of D hall or whatever it was. Like,
I have no control.
You're
over
the one who skipped class. Like, right. No, I'm not going to do that. I got my own battles to fight with her. I don't want to fight yours.
Yeah, that's funny that they would actually think that that may work. You
right.
know, like, dude, your mom just gave me this.
Yeah. Give me a good word. Yeah. Not going to work.
At the dinner table, you're like, hey, mom, you know, Steve, he's a really good kid.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm sure you're a great kid. But if I give you D-halls, I'm sure it was for a reason. So let's talk about what insights, if any, would you offer to parents today just about life as a teacher or the challenges in and out of the classroom? And before we move on, Kenan, I did want to ask you, what's it like being the spouse of a teacher?
That's, I would say my insight would be something that I would think teachers would like to know and never get to hear. From what I see, which is everything outside of the house, as soon as she gets home, she's not done with work. She's got to make sure tomorrow's ready. She's got to make sure that emails are replied to. If a parent wants to talk after school, that's going to be a conversation she has for 20 to 30 minutes after her day. She's just exhausted. She's just always exhausted, giving everything she has. There are Saturdays where she is like, I don't want to have to plan on Sunday, so I'll just plan today. And I'm like, we're in the middle of Saturday and you're planning. She works really hard. She cares so much for every kid.
Mm-hmm. She has a heart for kids. That's very clear.
But I would say if, you're worried about your teacher or worried about your kid's teacher, that they are working harder than you could imagine,
mm-hmm.
And getting very little recognition for that work, which is hard to see sometimes because a lot of kind of private jobs, you know, you get to work hard and you see that result from that extra work. She, you know, sees her kids do better, or she maybe sees that one kid that isn't listening all day. She's now listening because she did something different, or she had the conversation that she needed to have. But yeah, I think she's working hard for really no reason, just because she works hard.
No reason.
Well, it's her love. I mean, it's what she, first of all, it's what she chose to do as a profession. But
from my perspective, right. I don't understand. I don't have the relationships with those little kids. So right. I don't understand why you would take the care at 7:30 at night. Oh, wait, I didn't do this one thing. I need to go back and do this presentation. She has a presentation pulled up in 20 minutes of whatever she's doing the next day. So it's just like amazing to see.
Yes.
I think she works super hard. I feel like she doesn't get the recognition she deserves, but maybe that's everybody feels that way. So I'm a little biased for her, but,
you could hold an award ceremony for your wife every year.
Every year. Yeah, definitely.
You probably do.
Yeah. They say, what do they say? That there's a special place in heaven for teachers and people serving kids. So
yeah,
there's something to be said about that. Yeah.
That was very nice.
That was nice. Was that nice to hear your husband talk to
that? Yeah, that was very nice.
That was sweet.
As far as like what I would tell parents for advice, or I'm not a parent, so start there. So I don't really know what it's like to be a parent. I do know what it's like to semi-parent 20 kids for 8 hours a day for a lot of weeks during the year, which a lot of parents don't know that. I will say that my main thing always is that your child's teacher cares a lot about your kid.
Yeah.
A lot more. And they're not trying to work against you.
Right.
They're trying to work with you.
Which I think 99% of parents know that and believe that their teacher is for their kids.
Yes.
Yeah. I really do.
That's always my like thing that I start out with is like, if anything ever comes out of my mouth that seems negative about your child, it's because I love them so much that I want them to do better and be better. And the only way we can do that is we talk about this so that we can fix it.
And it's really an opportunity for growth more than fixing something or someone.
Yes, it's growing,
which is why
that's what I'm here for. Yeah.
That's why. And listen, it's not easy to hear.
No,
if Doug comes over and does something wrong.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm like, you've got to get your dog under control.
Yeah,
I know, and I have animals, and I had children. I know it's not easy to hear. But you're exactly right. You know, that's your heart is you love your kids and you do want them to do better. As a parent, it's not always easy to hear. And it's easy to, gosh, how can I say this? You naturally blame yourself as a parent. Mm-hmm. So if you're hearing something negative about your child,
right,
you take that on.
As
they
an attack.
Are a part of you. Mm-hmm. So you take on that to be a part of yourself as well. So you're like, I'm doing something wrong. And that's not necessarily always the case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. That was sweet. So social media, one of the things that I have heard recently about social media, when it comes to teaching is teachers, I've heard more and more teachers talk to me a little bit about teaching as a profession where you can be called out by clients much more than other professions. So parents can badmouth a teacher. I don't think we see a lot of that in our school district. I think most of our parents are pro FISD. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of parents may ask questions. Listen, there are always going to be parents that say really dumb, in my opinion, dumb things on social media that they shouldn't put on social media. That's kind of life. That's probably every profession. Mm-hmm. But I have heard that more and more from teachers of, it makes them really nervous if parents start, instead of calling the teacher,
right,
just putting it out on social media that this is a concern or a question or, you know, I think I would die if a parent did that and I was the teacher. I'd be like, what do you, can we have a conversation or can we talk, you know? What do you think about that? Is that something you worry about, or you just go about your day and don't worry about that, or...
Well, if anybody knows me, they know that I'm a worrier.
But do you spend a lot of time worrying about that?
Do I spend a lot of time worrying about it? No.
Yeah.
But when it happens, yeah, that does stress me out.
Oh, yeah. And that's very upsetting.
Right. It is upsetting. And really, it's upsetting because I feel like it's a lack of respect. I think that's the case of if I had a problem or a question, I would go directly to you or the source.
Right.
And so it feels like maybe that might be, it's disrespectful and potentially could embarrass that person. Mm-hmm. So what's the motive? And then also kind of like what I really try to do is get outside of my head. Not that this has really ever happened to me, but if this were was to happen to me or something similar, is put myself in that person's shoes of what they're feeling. Going back to my dog, like I will do anything for my dog. I care so much about my dog. He's my world. And I feel like I'm not getting answers. So I'm going to go to the next thing until I get an answer and I want to fix it. And so instead of feeling like it would be attack on me or like another teacher feeling like it's an attack on you of like that parent is feeling a certain way and that mm-hmm. there's a behavior coming from that, mm-hmm. just like children and everyone has behavior. The behavior stems from an emotion and the emotion is fear or yes. anger.
Yes.
And kind of finding like, what is the problem? How can I fix that so that then I can make that person feel better.
Mm-hmm. That is a great response that I've heard over the last year is if someone's throwing a temper tantrum mm-hmm. or they're throwing a fit or they're responding in a way that is not becoming or professional, their response to that person is just asking them what they're afraid of.
Or are you okay?
Well, are you okay? I think has some sarcastic, passive aggressiveness,
right.
which I love that question too. Are you okay? It's really the same question. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of right now? Or what are you afraid of? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? It's really saying, why is your behavior not really appropriate?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is really what it's saying. I guess I've heard of, are you okay? You and I've had that conversation, I think, but, I think I would say, are you okay in a way that might have a little sarcasm behind it? You know, I don't really care that they're okay. I'm just sooner.
It's easier to do that face to face and for that person to understand what you're saying than if you are texting or email or even on a phone call. Cause I feel like a lot of these interactions are behind a wall of protection of the internet or a phone or
true.
And then when we get face to face, cause a lot of the times it's like, hey, let's meet face to face because let's just hash this out, you know?
Yep. Let's talk it through 100%. When in the past, when something has happened on social media and we've called that person to say, hey, can we talk through this? They're a completely different person.
Right.
Even on the phone, but they're a completely different person than that what they were on social mm-hmm. media and what they were saying, behind that screen. So agreed.
Yeah, but also you as the reader, when you read those words, you're implying some sort of sass or attitude. And then whenever they have the, say those same words.
Fair.
You know.
It depends on how you read it.
Can't mm-hmm. imply, right.
That's true.
Same with the question on social media. It's how you interpret it.
Right.
So I just think everybody needs to like, maybe not take everything so seriously, I guess. That's would be my bit of advice. Not that I'm really good at that at all, but it definitely helps because when you're assuming the worst about someone, then obviously
positive intent goes a long way for sure.
That would be my thing.
Yeah. So I heard a question moving on from that topic. I heard a question yesterday on TikTok because I love TikTok. A guy said, here's an interview question, which I think is fascinating. If I hired you today, and in 60 days had to fire you or let you go is mm-hmm. what he said. What do you think would be the reason?
I know mine.
Jeez.
See, tell me your strengths and your weaknesses. You need to be careful with sharing your weaknesses.
Right.
Like in an interview, you really don't just start spurting off your weaknesses.
Right.
You say, well, I get really involved mm-hmm. in my work. Like I really care about my work and what I do. So I may take a little bit longer on this project when you may have wanted me to not take as long, you know, that may have been a terrible example, but what would be your answer? What do you think?
For me, I'm just a really passionate person.
Yes.
And I care a lot about my kids. I care a lot about my job. I care a lot about my coworkers. I'm very justice driven. And sometimes I take things too far of looking into things or caring too much about things, instead of just focusing on my thing. So maybe being out too outspoken at times.
You know, that's one of the best advice that you've given me or your mom's given me about you is that you're justice driven.
Mm-hmm.
Because that helps me understand your personality, because we have such different personalities. Mm-hmm. Of you fight for things to be fair. Yep. And right and
yep.
just.
Yep.
And so if things aren't that way, you will go to war to make sure that they're fair and right.
And sometimes that's not good.
Right, right. And sometimes you have to learn to let things go.
Exactly.
And, right. No, but that has helped me a lot with, mm-hmm. with your personality. And I don't think we take the time necessarily to share things like that with people unless we've worked a long time with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get vulnerable enough to say, right. hey, let me explain how I work and who I am. And this is why I came across this way, or this is why exactly. I act like this in those,
right.
in those times. Yeah. So you said that, so I'm glad you shared that. Cannon, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say Maddie's answers was great. My answer is probably, hey, you've been late every day for the past 45 days. You've been 30 minutes late, just 30 minutes, not like 2 hours late, just 30, 20 minutes late. We're gonna have to let you go, man.
This yeah. would be your answer for your in the interview that they have to let you go because
interview.
You're 30 minutes late.
Oh my God. I would never say that in the interview.
Oh, well, that's the interview. So they're saying, we hired you today. We have to get rid of you in 60 or have to let you go in 60 days. Why? What was the reason we would have to get rid of you?
Right now I'm in an interview inside of an interview. Okay. Hold on. I can think probably, yeah, just
too laid back.
There's a lot of answers. Yeah, y'all go ahead. My wife and my mom, go ahead and start listing them off.
Let us help you.
Yeah, I got it.
Can I call my wife real quick? She has the answer.
Yeah,
to this.
She's got a lot of answers.
Yeah.
No, that's a hard question. You don't have to answer it, but it is one of those questions that you go, I could go really wrong.
Yes.
You know, on this question.
Yes.
Well, I do want to say that I'm proud of both of you, and I love both of you, and look forward to other humans that may come into your world in the future, other than the dog E that you have.
Find her world first.
But is there anything else, Maddie? Am I leaving out? Is anything coming up that you want anyone to know about, or any? Does Westwood have any?
I mean,
you already did your carnivals and
yeah, we got field day on Friday.
Oh, you got field day on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, spring break next week.
Spring break. Hello. Let's go.
Everybody be safe. Have a good spring break.
Yeah. Any community ed stuff coming up?
Are you teaching any community ed?
I am going to teach another community ed class once my schedule.
Is it cooking?
No. We had a slime camp in the winter right after Christmas, and it went so well. And we're going to do another one.
Okay.
It's not on the calendar yet, but we're going to do one of those.
Be looking for that.
Be looking for the slime camp. Okay. And then maybe something Easter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love y'all. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Before we go.
Yes.
My mom is retiring, right?
Yes, I am retiring.
So I just want to say I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. We can't talk about that much. I'll cry.
Yeah. But you've been awesome for Friendswood for however long.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're awesome, mom. Very proud to have you. The amount of you look like your mom or you're just like your mom I've gotten, they're all compliments. So it's...
That's sweet.
Very lucky.
Yeah, I've been in Friendswood ISD for 20 years.
Yeah. So. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But
it's going to be very different. To me, I can't think about it because it's going to be very weird for you to not be just as accessible and there whenever I want
to be even more accessible.
I know, but
I can just sub or
I will
help.
Say it is something really cool about Dana is that she does come into every single building and takes pictures and sits in classrooms and cares. And having her be my mother-in-law is really cool because she's gotten to make a connection with all of my students in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a really big, hard change for me, yep. but Yeah, well, we're really proud of you.
Thank you.
And thanks for having us on the podcast.
It was great. It was even better than I thought it would be.
Yay. Yep.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
All right, love you. See ya.